Father, thank you. Thank you for your word that is coming to us with life and power. We ask that you fill us with the spirit of revelation. Fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we will walk worthy of you unto all pleasing and bearing fruit in every good work and increasing with the knowledge of God. Thank you, Father, that we are strengthened by your word and we will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So, I'm going to try my best to exhaust sanctuary protocols today as the Lord gives us grace. So, we've been looking at a very sensitive subject of the Bible, which I, by the leadings of God, started teaching you, which we called sanctuary protocols. And over the years, we've realized that a lot of Christians have been to church, been in believers' meetings and gatherings of believers, yet they've not really seen any indelible impact in their lives. And most of the time, they tend to think that either the church is not powerful, or the man of God is not powerful, or God himself is not powerful. But we need to understand that there are protocols in the sanctuary that when we understand and practice, it begins to affect our experience of God and how we receive from God and how effective we become as the people of God. So last week, as part of the foundation we were laying, and over the weeks, we spoke about serving the Lord. We spoke about the benefits of coming to church. We spoke about the blessings and rewards of serving the Lord. We spoke about the three groups of people who are dear to the heart of God, which is the soul winner, the intercessor, and the giver. So today, we quickly want to go straight into sanctuary protocols. This is the proper one. This is the meat itself. So everything I've been touching so far is to just give you a certain picture of serving the Lord. The things you benefit from when you are in church. You know, sometimes people come to church leaving their children at home. Sometimes coming to church with your child, who may not be hearing the word of God, but he's just around the church auditorium moving up and down, that one alone is a blessing. There is something that impacts the child without us knowing. And the reason why I'm doing this teaching is so you understand the spiritual realm as it pertains to the experience of God in a church meeting. We may be sitting down physically like this, but the activities going on in the spirit is beyond what eyes can see. So that is what I'm trying to tell us, so we can position ourselves well to enjoy more of what God wants to give to us. Am I teaching well? So we are looking at sanctuary protocol. This is proper. We need to understand that when we appear before God in Zion, there are protocols of how to approach God's presence. There are customs. There's a civilization. There is a code of conduct that needs to be observed when we are in the presence of God. You know, you realize that even cults and people in the occult, they have symbols. They have signs. They used to identify their worship, right? You know, sometimes people have a sign like this, right? Some have a sign like this. I don't know whether it's Wakanda or whatever. You know, can you give me some of the signs? Okay, I'm told this, like this. I'm told this is also a sign. So if you are part of the group, it is part of the signs they observe. When they appear in meetings, there are protocols that they observe, even in the occult meetings. And all these protocols were learned from the Word of God. But unfortunately, many Christians treat church meetings like this very casually, so they miss a lot. So if God gives us time, I'm going to share with you about 12 to 16 protocols that you need to observe and practice when you appear before God in his sanctuary. Remember, in the old tabernacle order, when Israel gathered, there was a protocol. You can't just enter and walk into the Holy of Holies. You would die. You can't choose the kind of animal you want to use for the sacrifice. Even when you bring the animal, the priest must observe the animal to see whether the animal has a defect. There were times Israel had to sing. There were times they were supposed to observe certain protocols in their worship of God. And every Christian needs to also understand that there are protocols to observe in the sanctuary. There are ethical gestures that we observe when we appear before God in Zion. Please, is someone following this? Now, the first protocol of the sanctuary of God is called the protocol of lifting of hands. I think probably maybe after I'm done with this subject, Pastor Moses or Pastor Ben, you can print this out and then you can paste it so that we can keep seeing it. Praise God. The protocol of what? Lifting of hands. Or the protocol of lifted hands. Now, when we appear before God, or when we are in the presence of God, one of the first protocols that we practice is what we call lifting up of hands. And every protocol I'm teaching you actually has a scriptural foundation. And I'm sure today I might give you close to about 50 scriptures. Now, come with me to the book of Psalm 134, the verse 2. The Bible says, lift up your hands in the what? Sanctuary, and bless the Lord. So one of the protocols in the sanctuary is lifting up of hands. Now, it may seem very physical, but has a spiritual symbol and its meaning in the spirit. I'm teaching good. Now, I explained the other time that you can do something physical and it will mean two different things to two different people. Praise God. Do you know that you can kneel down, and that kneeling down may either be a punishment or worship, depending on the context? Please, are you following this? So you may kneel down, but your kneeling down may be because your teacher said you should kneel down and lift up your hands. They are not the same if someone decides to kneel down and lift up his hands to the Lord. Please, are you following this thing? So we need to understand that your lifted hands can be consecrated to Jesus. A policeman can tell you, lift up your hands. And your hands may be lifted, but that lifted hands is not consecrated to the Lord. So, lifting up of hands in the sanctuary is one of the first protocols that we practice when we appear in the presence of God. And there is a reason. I told you the last time that postures communicate. If you are a civilian and you became a suspect, and the police came to you and the police said, don't move, you didn't move. He says, lift up your hands. Your hands was lifted. And you were trying to show him your ID card at your back pocket when he had his gun. That action was communicating that what? Can someone help me? That what? that you are about to remove again. So by you wanted to prove a point that you are just a normal civilian. So this is your ID card. But the communication of your hand going to your back was communicating a threat. And you may lose your life because of a simple posture. So if someone can lose his life because of a posture, someone can receive from God also by posture. Please, are we getting this? So please listen to me. You may have been lifting up your hands even when you are tired. You stretch like this. But once you decide that this time, this hand that is lifted in prayer, in worship, it is to the Lord receives it as part of your worship. Because lifting of hands is a sign of absolute surrender. Number two, lifting up of hands is actually communicating to the Lord that you want a touch from Him. And I love what Don Sinoyikan said. You know, when you lift up your hands like this, he says that by that arm stretch hands is a sign of a funnel. It's a sign of a funnel, which means that by lifting your hands, you are saying, Lord, I'm the funnel. Pour yourself into me. This is amazing. So listen to me. Someone may be in a service and just by the hands that was lifted, the person can receive something another person standing close won't receive. Because listen to me carefully. Do you know that we can all have a radio? We can all have a physical device of a radio. But once radio station can be playing perfectly and another person's station can be right? One can enjoy Joy FM. Another can still have Meanwhile, they both have radios. The challenge is tuning. So the FM station is already playing. But you have a device. Your device is your spirit. But your spirit must be tuned. So if you don't tune into the FM station, what is playing there cannot play in your life or on your device. It's the same in the house of God. We can all have the same born again spirit, but our receivers will not be the same. You know why? Because of our tuning. So lifting your hands is part of the tuning process for clarity of what God is doing or about to do in your life. Claire. Let's take some more scriptures. I have more. Deuteronomy chapter 22, the verse 40. I'm going to give you more scriptures today. He says, and 22, the verse 40. Deuteronomy 22, 40. There's no 40. Okay, so let me give you the next verse. Nehemiah chapter 8, the verse 6. Maybe I got that wrong. Nehemiah 8, 6. He says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, with what? Their hands, with lifting up their hands. Please, you need to get the Bible. That's why you go to bring your physical Bible to church. Now the church the church has become something else. Christians don't hold their Bible again. So that means that every Christian is depending on projector. Unfortunately, that this TV has gotten a problem. So if you don't have your Bible, you'll be in trouble today. So you have to open your Bible. We have to go back to how it was those times. Amen. So, and the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads. So, lifting up your hands is part of protocol worship. Look again with me to 1 Kings chapter 8, the verse 22. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord. Listen, in the presence of the Lord, of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. Look at the verse 54. And it was so that when Solomon had made the end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar, from kneeling on his knees, with his hands spread up to heaven. So Solomon observed this protocol in the presence of God. And the Bible will teach us how we should also observe those sanctuary protocols to be able to receive from God. Exodus chapter 17, the verse 11. You'll be shocked that Israel went to a battle. And Moses went along with Aaron and Hur. And they climbed the mountaintop. And the Bible says Moses lifted up his hands. As long as his hands remained lifted, Israel was winning. And as when his hands grew weary and he brought his hands down, Israel was losing. Can you imagine that victory on the battlefield was determined by someone's lifted hands? Which means your lifted hands can be accomplishing something in your house without you knowing. I'm not preaching to that. Because I can't hear you. I'm not feeling you. You are not understanding me. Victory was wrought whilst Moses was on the mountaintop, whilst Joshua was winning because of his hands. Listen, this Christian life is a spiritual thing, no? If you don't understand the spiritual aspect of Christianity, you will just be a church goer or a church comer, and you will not be able to experience the power dimension of the Christian life. Lifted hands brought victory. So hear me carefully. Anytime you lift your hands before the Lord, know this, it is accomplishing something. You may not fully understand, but the scripture is encouraging and admonishing us. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the verse 8, come with me there. 1 Timothy 2, 8. He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, doing what? Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So Apostle Paul admonished the church to pray and also lift up their... Oh, can you imagine the Bible says holy hands? Which means these hands God calls is holy. Look at your hands again. The hands you used to squeeze that breast. Look at it again. And you'll be like, whoa. The hands you used to eat the buffalo, these hands. Look into the hands again. And said, my hands are holy and I did not know. Say it to your hands. Again. Your conscience is judging you. Say it again. Hey! Holy hands. God, when we get to everyone understanding why he can call this hand holy, when we all know what we have done with this hand. Why? Holy hands. So look, it is because your hand is holy That is why it can be a ministration to God. Because God does not receive unholy things. And listen, this verse is not talking about something you have done with your hands that has made it holy. The reason why your hand is holy is because the Holy Ghost is living in your entire body. So, the Holy Ghost in you sanctified your body to become God's temple, which is why your lifted hands is received by God as a holy thing. I'm teaching good here. So, I'm giving you a new revelation about your hands. Because if you knew, you wouldn't have made that mistake. Lift your hand and say, my hands are holy. No, see, do it with understanding. My hands are holy. One more time, my hands are holy. So if these hands, same hands, can worship God, the Bible says you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why? Because your hands are holy. Your hands are holy. Your hands are holy. I'm teaching good here. That is why we can lay hands. Because now God can use your hand as an extension of his hand to touch the lives of people. So there is a mystery about this, your hand. Your hand is a supernatural hand. I'm telling you. Because of the influence of the Holy Spirit. With this understanding, the next time your son is sick at 12 a.m. and you can't call your pastor, you can remember this revelation that my pastor, through the word of God, taught me that these hands are holy. And when I stretch these hands, it is God stretching his hands. You lay that hands on that boy and you say, I command that sickness, that discomfort in your body to come out in the name of Jesus. God, through the anointing of God flowing from the Holy Ghost through your body, having contact upon that boy, will receive instant healing and you will give glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you ever forgot anything, don't forget this. My hands are holy. My hands are holy. So watch what you do with these hands. You can't steal with these hands. You can't fornicate with these hands. No. Your hands are holy. Let me give you two more scriptures. Psalm 28, the verse 2. He says, hear the voice of my supplication. When I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Now, so you will notice that anytime spiritual activity is being communicated in the Bible, it mentions postures. He was crying to God in prayer, but his hands was involved. I can give you more than 20 scriptures proving that lifting up your hands in the presence of God is a sanctuary protocol. But a lot of times, many believers will just lift it up for 5 seconds. They bring it down. Meanwhile, when you were a young child, your teacher made you do it by compulsion for 30 minutes. You can do it by revelation for an hour. You can do it by revelation. You can choose that today I'm going to lift my hands deliberately. It's a spiritual training to the Lord. And these hands will stay up there for the next 5 minutes. Hallelujah. Get some more scriptures. Psalm 141, the verse 2. Psalm 141, the verse 2. Let my, oh my goodness, I love this verse. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Which means when you pray, your prayer goes to heaven as incense. I am trying to make you understand something. You may do something in the presence of God with your physical mouth or with your physical body, but it goes to heaven transformed. It goes to heaven remodified. It goes to heaven with a new touch upon it. So he says, let my prayer be set before thee as incense. So you may be speaking in prayer. You may think you are just talking, but incense is rising from your lips as you are speaking to God. Imagine you are praying, and in the spirit of your imagination, you imagine smoke coming out. You know, that's why we do the things we do with revelation. Now I know when I lift up my hands, look, he says, and the lifting up of my hands as evening sacrifice. Can you imagine? The Jewish people had two sacrifices they did daily. The morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. They offered it. And according to David, David was not in the New Testament. But he caught a glimpse. In fact, David actually prophesied the messianic prophecies several times in the scriptures, like Psalm 22, when he spoke about the messianic prophecies about what Christ was going to go through. So David was modern in his age. David was updated with New Testament realities, even in the Old Testament. In fact, it was only David who had the kingly anointing. He had the priestly anointing. And David also had the prophetic anointing. And David also had the shepherd's anointing. In fact, David was ahead of his age. He functioned as a king, as a prophet, and as a priest. You know why? Because God was trying to communicate New Testament realities through his life. And he says, and the lifting up of my hands as evening sacrifice. If you said this to a Jewish man, he would have insulted you, because the evening sacrifice was not hands, it was animal. But David had a glimpse of the future, and he knew that Jesus would be the ultimate lamb that will end all animal sacrifices. And in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 13, the verse 15, he says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It was David who got that revelation that in the New Testament, it will not be an animal, it will be thanks. So, in the New Testament, a believer can still offer sacrifice. For example, when you say thank you, Jesus, it's as though you have slaughtered a goat. I'm teaching good. Can you imagine? This is actually the easiest, but you will not do it. He says, and the lifting up of my hands. When you go home, go and read this scripture again with understanding. As evening sacrifice. So God receives your lifted hands as an offering. Everything I'm teaching today is going to be very practical. Lift up your hands to the Lord for 1 minute. Just lift it. You don't need to say anything. What you have just done, according to scripture, is a sacrifice. We call it evening sacrifice. And I'm doing it with you because I'm practicing the word of God also. You do it with a consciousness of God. You do it with revelation. Remember, I said your hands are holy. That's number one. Number two, you are showing to God that you have nothing to hide. You surrender everything to him. He's in charge of my life. Number three, also, you are telling God this is your sacrifice to him by the lifting up of your hands. It's your sign of respect that he's the ruler. Hallelujah. Now, with this revelation, how did you feel? You know, the experience and the feeling becomes different when you start operating by revelation. The same thing you have been doing over the years can change when you have understanding. Of course, the book of Isaiah chapter 33, he says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thine times and the strength of salvation. Lamentations chapter 2, the verse 19. Lamentations 2, 19. Lamentations 2, 19. Lamentations 2, 19. He says, arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children. Can you imagine? That faint for hunger in the top of every street. So the Bible again is speaking here again of lifting up of hands in the presence of God. Look at the chapter 3, the verse 15 of same Lamentations. 3:15. Sorry, 3:14. 3:14. Lamentations 3:14. Lamentations 3:14. Whoa. All right, the scriptures are a lot, so some of them, I missed it. Hallelujah. So number two, the second sanctuary protocol is what we call blessing the Lord. Blessing the Lord. Psalm 103, the verse 1 and 2. Psalm 103, the verse 1 and 2. Now look, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So David, through revelation, tells us to bless the Lord. You know, I can call someone today and say, today I just want to bless you. What it means is that I want to spread him. I want to make his day. The Bible is saying bless the Lord, which means you can also do God's show. That today, Lord, I just want to bless you. The feeling someone experiences when he's blessed is the same feeling God experiences when he's blessed by you. I'm teaching good. What does it mean to bless the Lord? It means to demonstrate great love, devotion, and respect for the Lord. It's a demonstration of great love, devotion, and respect to the Lord. Psalm 134, the verse 2. Psalm 134, the verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. 145. Psalm 145, the verse 1 and 2. Psalm 145, the verse 1 and 2. He says, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. So we, as part of a sanctuary protocol, we are to bless the Lord every day. So when we meet in his presence, one protocol to be observed is to bless the Lord. You know, sometimes, listen to me, you know, for example, do you know that when a choir is singing, most of the time in very advanced choirs, very huge choir, there is someone who normally directs them. What's the name of that person? It's a conductor, right? So he conducts by giving them instructions on what to do per time, especially depending on the kind of song it is. He calls them in to sing one particular thing at a particular time. Now, if he is not there, there may be confusion. Please, are you following what I'm saying? If he's not there, the impact of the song cannot be fulfilled. Likewise, a choir director, music director, one who is leading prayer, or the pastor, is also a conductor in the spirit. So when he's saying lift up your hands, it's because there is a harmony we are all supposed to be involved in, so we can enjoy the full benefit of what God is doing. So when he says lift up your hands, you will find only three people in the congregation. Can I shock you? It's a dishonor to the Holy Ghost. You see, many of us grieve the Lord in several ways. And the reason why God is still moving in our midst is because of his mercy. But most of the time, the Lord is grieved. A song minister is leading a song. He says, can you sing this song? He lifts the song. Can we sing together? You see others watching his face. Do you know what is happening? There is a harmony that is ongoing in heaven. You are the one who cut it. You are not part of it. Which means, if a harmony struck a chord in heaven, and there was a release or a deposit in the spirit, you are not part of the stakeholders and the shareholders. You know why? Because you were not a partaker. So only partakers of the spiritual activity will be partakers of the spiritual blessing. No, I'm teaching you so that you don't disconnect when we are connected. Which is why I said, when you are in church, you may be going through a problem, but at that time, you must put your problems aside, just like you are able to manage your emotional problems with your job. Manage your emotional problems with your God. I'm teaching good here. Now, can you imagine? Let me help you. You spent your Monday to Friday with no church activity. Most of you come to church only on Sundays. You come to church on Sunday, only a 2 hour, 30 minutes meeting, and you came to joke. You don't need to say nye, nye, nye to show you are joking, no. Your own concern is part of your joke. So you can imagine, you weren't going to church. Most of you didn't pray in the course of the week. So, if you have revelation, most of you would have taken Sunday service as World Cup. Because you will come back after 1 week, and a lot may happen within that time. So when we say pray for your children, you will take it World Cup. Because you know you come back again after 6 days. When we say lift your hands, you know you may not do that activity in your house. So it is a World Cup service for you. Listen, how you treat God determines how much you can carry from him. How you treat God determines how much he can reveal to you. God does not cast his spells to swines. So your gesture, your posture, how you behave in his presence, your protocol, your ethics in his presence determines how much of glory you experience. The Bible says we all, with an unveiled face, as we behold us in the mirror, the glory of God are changed. Which means there is an effort God beholding before there is a change. So if you are not part of that effort, you are not part of that change. You are not part of the transformation and the experience that we have in the presence of God. Which is why you come to church and live the same. So the second protocol is blessing the Lord. Now look with me to the book of Psalm 145, the verse 10 and 21. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall what? Bless thee. So saints were made to bless the Lord. Thy saints shall bless thee. How do you bless the Lord? Simple, by blessing him. I bless you, Lord. I bless you. Lord, I bless you. Lord, I bless you. You are too good that I bless you. I bless you for your name. I bless you. Just keep saying that. I bless you. I bless you. Oh Lord, I bless you. I bless you. Listen, you may even say it undertone. Eh? No one may hear it, but God is receiving it as a ministration. Listen, there is a place for ministering to the Lord, which is what the early church knew that we don't know. We only come to receive for the Lord. But the Lord actually wants to be ministered to. That's why we sing. So blessing the Lord is part of what you give to Him as part of your ministration. So listen, when we meet in church, it's a give and take. We give to God, we take from God. Because whilst you are giving, God is also giving. Because God is a giving God. We are supposed to be givers. We give Him praise. We bless Him. It's part of the gifts we give to the Lord. Listen, you see, God doesn't need gold. He doesn't need TV. So there are things that He needs. Part of it is blessing Him. Hear me carefully. When you give money as an offering, though God receives it, it's not God who spends it. It's the local church that uses it for church activities. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, though God received it, God doesn't use it. So there are things that we can exclusively give to the Lord, which is intangible, but spiritually weighty. It is called blessing the Lord. Lift your right hand. In 10 seconds, just repeat it. I bless you, Lord. Just keep saying it. I bless you. Now, until we practice it, we cannot be used to it. Just keep saying it. I bless you, Lord. I bless you. I bless you, Lord. You don't need to add plenty words to it. Just keep saying, I bless you. He understands what you're saying. I bless you. Lord, I bless you. I bless you, Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. And worship His holy name. Now, do you see what you're doing now? You are ministering to the Lord. As your hands are lifted, you are ministering. Oh my soul.
Oh my soul. Worship His holy name.
There is a song that goes this way.
And bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy, holy name.
It's a simple song. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy, holy name.
I will bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord,
oh my soul,
and all that is within me. Bless His holy, holy name.
He has done great things.
And He has done great things. And He has done great things.
if you keep practicing this over time, it will have an effect on your life. Bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Psalm 100, which is Psalm 100, the verse 4. Psalm 100, the verse 4. Look, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. All these things are protocols. With thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and do what? Bless his name. So God wants his name to be blessed. How do you do it? By blessing his name. I bless your name. It's a ministry. It's a sanctuary system that God expects of us as his people. Bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Psalm 135. All right, we can hold on with that. Psalm 104, the verse 1. Psalm 104, the verse 1. He says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, again. So several times in scripture, God tells us to bless his name. To bless him. Hallelujah. There's a song that says, magnify the Lord with me. You know how to sing it? Okay. That's fine. Number three. The third sanctuary protocol. I love this one. It's my favorite. It's a protocol of thanksgiving. Please go back to the podcast and listen to this teaching again. It's a protocol of thanksgiving. So when we speak of thanksgiving, we are speaking of appreciation to God. A celebration of God's goodness, grace, and mercies. So when we give thanks to God, we are celebrating God for his mercy, for his grace, and for his love. For his goodness shown us. So thanksgiving is an appreciation and a celebration of God. So it is the third sanctuary protocol every believer must do constantly, especially in the presence of God in church. Come with me to Psalm 100, the verse 4. He says, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Actually, God is expecting that on your way to church, before you enter the gate, you should start saying thank you. But most of you enter with catwalk. You enter with WhatsApp. You enter with anger. You're already angry before you go to the gate. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Hey, see, if you want to receive more from God, you must understand his system of operation. Thanksgiving is a protocol. You know, by this time, man, most of you should be practicing it. As I'm preaching, then just lift up your hands. What you're doing is that you are exercising your spiritual muscles. You are putting the word of God to work. Because it is very easy for you to forget this teaching. Until you see, you will never remember any teaching except you practice it. The only way you can remember the word of God is to do it. So any word you receive that you don't do will soon fade away. So listen to me. If you want the revelation to stick fresh in your heart every time, keep doing it every time. So as I said, thanksgiving, someone should just say it undertone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. So we are combining all the things. Thanksgiving is a sanctuary protocol. He says we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Listen to me. Anytime you're about to pray in your personal closet, don't start praying by binding demons. You don't respect. Anyone who starts prayer by saying, Father, wherever they are, by fire. My father's side, my mother's side, my paterna, my fraterna. You don't respect, oh. I'm telling you, it is only you that can enter your father's bedroom, and you enter by telling him problems without greeting. Thanksgiving is your official greeting. So listen, for every prayer to begin, it begins with thanksgiving. In fact, thanksgiving is the highest form of New Testament prayer. Almost all prayers Apostle Paul mentioned in the New Testament epistles, he starts with, "Oh, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer." So we begin praying with thanks. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you. I celebrate you. I appreciate you. I'm thankful. My heart is grateful. You know, some of you are very ungrateful. Hey, the things God has done for you. You know, is it Tego Sisters? They have a song. It says, Bebre na waya mama fimu. Minyami. I said, I would hear. Bebre, now why am I my femur? Man, don't ya me? I said, I come. Bebre, 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 now why am I my femur? Bebre, now why am I my femur? Can you sing that request? Semekaya.
Semekaya, dumnia doya.
Listen to the words, not the song.
Why am I my fimo? Mira yes away. Mitsu mimi nawa siyo.
Your protection.
Obamo pano uhesu penti na mami tiseni amiti. Mikodaye na medaye. Mi sorry na wabata zani kwa mimui wai. Enunti me kosu mabo abodi no se uye nyamikano kwe yami nyamini ho unu kwe jenti na mami ohieni ene mayodi fui enti sene miti asidia masem nisasida nko udinda semikaya tumnia toya.
Listen to the words.
Waya mami afimo Mira yes away, Mitsu mimi nawa siyo. Ubamo pano hesu penti na mami tiseni amiti. Mikodaye na midaye, misori na wabata nsani kwa mimu ye wai. Enunti, mekosu mabo wabodi no se. Uye yami pano kwe yami yamini ho. Uno credenti na mami ohieni ene mayodifo. Enti sene miti asidia. Masem nisa sidan ka udin da 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 da. Bebre, 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 bebre na wayo. Bebre, be na wayo mami nti meda wasida. Yeah. Bebre na waya mama fimo. Miyami ya sida ya wudia. Bebre na waya mama fimo. Deje nyami ya sida nka udinda. Bebre, 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 bebre na waya mama fimo. Bebre na waya mama fimo. Deje nyami ya sida nka udinda.
God bless you. You see, so when we look, you see, God, you see, Sunday service, for example, you will gather and collect all the great things he did, the accident, the food he provided, the accident he prevented, your children who are still walking freely, nothing is wrong with them, you didn't pay hospital bill, you didn't hear of accident, no bad news. When we collect all those ones, Sunday, we come and pour it as Thanksgiving. So, if we know, listen, there is a lot of work to be done than a lot of things to receive in church. When we come, we are coming to give God our thanks. So we remember everything he did. The job. How he preserved you. The salvation you have. The Holy Ghost still in you despite all the things you have done. And the Holy Ghost, God is still with you. You come back and come and say thank you. Maybe something happened and the marriage had issues. You come and thank him. Maybe something happened to your child. You come and thank him. Maybe some money you were expecting didn't come. You still come and thank him. So you come, you bring a load of thanksgiving. When you do that, God is ministered by your thanks. He eats it. It is food. He loves thanksgiving. So all the good things God does, you use it to prepare jollof for him on Sunday. And as you are saying thank you, Jesus, God is like, ah, yummy, yummy, yummy. Yummy. He loves it. Can you imagine that Noah gave a sacrifice? The Bible says God smelled it. If God can smell smoke, he can smell thanks. God smelled the sacrifice and said, Noah, where from this smell? I will never again destroy the earth with flood. He smelled an offering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. The more you say thank you, the more grateful you become. The more you refuse to say it, the more ungrateful you become. Your problems will be it will be magnified than his goodness. And hear me. If your problems have become bigger than your gratitude, it's a sign you are veering off. Apostle Paul was in prison. He was writing to believers who were free, and he was telling them, rejoice in the Lord always. I say unto you, rejoice. Listen, do you know what this God has done? Sometimes I can't tell how I pay my children's school fees. Have you noticed your salary is 800? But so far, at the end of the year, the things you have done, you knew it was not 800 that was taking care of you. It's a mystery. As a student, your father gives you 50 Ghana a week. But out of the 50 Ghana, you eat 3 times a day. By the time you are hungry, there is no food. You just went to visit a friend. He just finished cooking rice. You ate. It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. No, most of us are just saying things are bad. But I'm telling you, things are bad, but he's been good. I'm telling you sometimes. You are complaining. Akufo-Addo has increased the fuel, but you are buying fuel. E-Levy is too much, but you are paying. Ask yourself, what is making these things happen? Listen, there is an invisible hand working in our lives every day that we can't see. I can't see it, but I know that there must be a hand that is taking care of me. So I give him thanks for his goodness. For this God is good. He is good all the time. In the bad, the good, and ugly, he has shown me mercy. Some of you should have died by now. But you are still alive. Have you not wondered how you are still alive? Have you not wondered how your marriage is still standing? Have you not wondered how you are feeding your children? Have you not wondered how you are paying bills in the house? We thank him. So one of our major protocols is a protocol of thanksgiving. Listen, if you check throughout the Bible, thanksgiving is flooded everywhere. Jesus healed 10 lepers. Can you imagine? You have had leprosy, let's assume, for 10 years. And a man from nowhere who is not your family and does not owe you anything gives you a direction you have healing. 10 people, only one came to give thanks. Listen, there was a problem somewhere. And I realized it's human nature. Sometimes the people you help are people who betray you. It's human nature. I've seen a sick person who cannot walk. and someone is helping the sick person, and the sick person is insulting the person, say, "Unim yansa." Hey! Have you experienced that before? Or you have heard that before? The sick person in the wheelchair is maltreating the person helping him. Hey! Human beings, we are a mystery. You see, people don't know Thanksgiving. Number one, Thanksgiving is medicine. I'm not even speaking on the God level, man to man level. Thanksgiving can heal. That's why when someone does something for you, you don't say thank you. It hurts the person. Because you give the person the impression he didn't like it. Listen. However small someone blesses you, thank the person. There was one guy who is a drummer of a church who has been coming for all night here. The last time he bought me a gift. What was the gift? He said, "Daddy, I have a gift for you." So I was waiting for something. He went and came. It was a black rubber. Inside it was one is it crate of bottled water. That's what he bought for me. And he wrapped it. And the wrap was black rubber. When he came, I thanked him. I blessed him. You know why? Because you see, the guy thought of me. That day, nobody gave me a gift. He gave me a gift. This same guy told me that, "I have a seat for you." He brought the seat for me. When I opened it, it was 20 Ghana cedis. The way I blessed the guy, because listen, if someone gives you something, that means he has been thoughtful. If God gives you something, he has been thoughtful. But you see, the attitude we have is that we measure the blessing and not see the heart of the blessing. Listen, the economy is very hard. If someone gives you one CD, he has done well. If you give me something, I'll thank you minimum 3 times. If I see you after 1 year and I remember it, I'll thank you again. Because people don't know that anytime you keep thanking people for a long time, they feel like repeating it again. It's a spirit. I normally give my mom something at the end of the month. Every month ending, no matter what, I make sure I give her something. The way my mother would thank me, I'm like, did I make a mistake in what I sent? And I go and check. It's a very amount. My mom is thanking me like I gave her 10,000 Ghana cedis. So one time she did it, I just felt so good about it that I added more to it. My own mom. You know, the challenge with most of us is that we are very, very ungrateful. But we don't know that we're ungrateful. If someone gives you a slightly used shoe, thank him. At Hacienda, one of the ministers brought me 17 cedis as a seed. I knew this 17 cedis was coming from sweat. Can you imagine? I've not forgotten. It's been like 2 years. I've still not forgotten. Because I appreciated it. In life, sometimes you have too many expectations from people. So when they bring things in which is not in your expectation, you don't think that God has done something for you. And that's a spirit you must deal with in your heart. If you want people to surround you, if you want people to do good to you, you must learn to celebrate them when they help you. You know, some of you, when you go home, today you must take your phone. Thank certain people. Go back and go and say thank you to your father for paying your school fees all these years. Because school fees are made to you. If you free, are made to you. I realized that my parents have done well. You must thank some people. Oh. You must thank some people. I gave my wife a seat this week. She has given me more seats than I've given to her. My wife was just thanking me. She thanked me until I was like, did I make a mistake and I added more or something? The Thanksgiving was too much. Listen, Thanksgiving is a tool. You must know how to use it. Thank people. for 1 week. Every week be as thanksgiving. All the people that gave us the major seeds for this beautiful, I've been thanking them every time till today. So back to our subject. Is my time up? Hey. You didn't tell me because you're enjoying the thing. Enjoying the thing, eh? The thing, the job, eh?